So one point in the Gemara we should define is, what's the necessity of the ratio? Why does the Gemara insist that the ratio be one-third Gedil, two-thirds Anaf? Like, why do I care? Like, why is that important? Why is it important to have this what's the Gemara's Lashon? Noi Tchela Shlish the Gedil Ushnei Shlishi Anaf. And why can't I have it reverse? Why can't I have it two-thirds Gedil, one-third Anaf? Why? It's in the Gemara. What? Only because we know that. In other words, let me ask you, or I'm going to say this carefully. I can't answer, I don't think it's possible to answer why, putting Darius's language of 1 to 2 aside, of 33 to 66, but it's interesting how the Gemara has two extremes. There's either, what's bad is two-thirds Gedil, one-third Anaf. There's no institution of half, which is weird. Why don't you have a half, right? But you do have an idea of two-thirds Anaf, one-third Gedil. Okay, I just want to understand on a basic level why. What are Chazal pushing here to insist that the ratio like this be one third Gedil, two thirds Anaf, and not reverse? What? Well, yeah, as a structure. So, what would you say? How would you answer that? It's a good question. I think it's good. It is a good question, right? I think it's definable. All right. So, what would you say? What are these things? Okay, so if you always go back to that Grizz, it's amazing Grizz, but remember something, okay? If I looked at this structurally, how would I look at the Anaf? Right? Right. I would look at the Anaf, right? In other words, if I'm looking at this as a structural thing, right, I would say that these strings are the product of the Gedil. Just like in your shoes. When you tie your shoes, you have that leftover lace part, right? So that's how I would relate to it. But we know, now that's if I look at it from a Gedil standpoint. But we also know, if you think about it, that the essence of or Isem Oso is tied to what? The Anaf. This is where the action happens. Not here, right? You don't get your Isem Oso here. I'm not saying you can't. This is where the Isem Oso comes in. Because when I see the strings contrasted to each other, let's forget the Rambam for a second, like the classic blue and white in here, I think about God. Right, so that being the case, with those are concepts we developed already. So why does the Gemara say it's so important that the Gedil be one third and the Anaf two thirds, and not the reverse? What would be the problem with it being reverse? What would be the problem if and I want to put it carefully, where I won't even call it the majority, because the majority here doesn't mean 51%. Majority here means two thirds, meaning if there's a substantial part of it is Gedil. And the smaller part is Anaf, that would be a problem. Why?
You want to show that the main purpose of this entire thing is Rizoso, and the Gedil is simply there as like a fishing cause that Rizoso.
Right, from the perspective of Urisimoso, not from the perspective of the Gedil. It doesn't take away the importance of the Gedil. The Gedil is a Daraisa. Right. Right. Notice we want to emphasize that since you would think the Anaf is really the byproduct of the Gedil. So then, if it were short, right, what would you say? It would make sense for it to be shorter, right? It would make sense to make the Gedil primary. But when it comes to Risim Oso, we must always emphasize Risim Oso comes through the strings, okay? Okay. Before we get to the Lavan thing at the end of the Gemara, that's the key to understanding all the stuff that's going on in here. Because if you remember, what's unique about the Gedil is that there's a convergence of two phenomena. There's the actual structural knot, and then there's some idea of strings present, right? There is a reality of an Orisim Oso in the structure of the Gedil, right? We know that. Because if that weren't the case, you know what you could potentially argue? You could say, like, and you could say this, what I'll do is I'll go ahead and tie my white strings here, and then I'll use a Tchela string here. You know what I mean?
Right,
exactly. I can work out some way where I could dye this string in a way where it's only love on here, and then when I get to this point, the necessity of using blue comes in. But you see, that's not true. All these different shitas, well, at least insofar as the contrasting blue and white, they're bringing the idea of a reason or so into the structure of the Gedil as well. They're saying the Gedil isn't just a knot, but I must see in it. Who? Because that's one of the reasons why you have a chulia. That's why. What do you need a chulia for? What should I need? A knot, right? and strings. The chulia, I think, deraisa, was in, exactly. I think the chulia is introduced as sort of like a milligram's a bad word. Like what am I looking for? Like yeah, a bridge, right? A bridge in the chulia is the idea of both structure and resimasa. Okay, that's part of what the chulia is. It's not just there to tie the strings together. Who cares? Why is that important? But I think instead, in that thing, that chulia, that entity, we'll see if it's an entity, but in that halachic idea of chulia exists, that's where I see coming together the idea of gedil and the idea of resimoso in the structure. Yeah. Or, one second, because anaf is pure resimoso, and this knot here is pure gedil. This is the transition point. That's a better word. Right? It's a structural transition. That's why these wraparounds are so important. They're like the structural transition of, watch it, because not one from one to the other. You know what I mean?
It's from one to
right, but no, but it has both properties. That's the point. Okay, yeah. But again, just to stress, as you're saying, the idea of a chulia, the concept of a chulia, which is Doraisa concept, the concept of a chulia, in my opinion, is really taking the idea of the gedil, right, and the idea of resim oso and bringing them together, okay? Because anaf is pure resim oso, and gedil is pure not. But the chulia, that wraparound, as you'll see clearly from the way the Rishonim discuss this, is really talking about bringing the two together. Yes. What was the other question? The Gemara says you start off your first right. You first start off with white, right? Then and you have to end with white. You start off with white because that's obvious. Because min kanav, I got to start off with the same color as the beged. You end off with white. Why malam mikodesh? What do you mean malam mikodesh? You can't just bring malam. Well, Sean is up and getting to one point that you see that the Gemara. Oh, hold on there, buddy. You see the Gemara is clearly what do you call it? It's trying to show you that it's trying to express a relationship of tchelas to lavan, right? That's what you're trying to get at.
Yeah.
In the very fact you end off with white, it's trying to show you something about that relationship, right? Because if it was just back and forth and you ended off with it, then you would say that they're equally, so to speak, important.
Yeah.
So, but I want to go further. So, what makes the lavan? What's the lavan doing by being the last one? What's it doing? David.
Sure.
The entity. You gotta go around to get to there. Okay. So David is right. Okay. The reality is that what you're gonna have to say is that by ending off with white. So what does that do? That there's the ending off with white is telling me that now the gedil is complete. There's the structure of gedil, which is really the extension from the beged, that is complete. So the lavan's function, right, at the end is to complete the gedil. Okay? So now how's that Malam Mekodesh? Kinnarik asks. The Gemara is trapping you by using Malam Mekodesh, right? You're stuck. Because there's
No, we do.
I'll tell you what you're forced to have to say. Oh, yes, Sean. But no. What Oren's saying is, okay, let's understand. The fact that I start off with lavan, there's two ways you could understand what that means, okay? What are the two ways? What is one thing you could say is, okay, well, min kanaf demands I start off with lavan. And that's all it means, right? If that were true, then it wouldn't matter what I end with, right? But it's showing you something more.
What? That's not the reason he used for why it ended.
Right, one second. Right, so there's something more. This is what I'm trying to say. There's something more about the fact that I start off with lavan, right? More than min kanaf, right? That's going to tell me that if I ended off with tcheles, that would be, say this carefully, like a bizayon or a detraction from the importance of lavan. You understand? In other words, it's not just that I'm starting off with lavan because of min kanaf, okay? I agree with you that it is extending the thing, 100%, all right? But in order to say it's malam and kodesh, let's look at it from the, let's invert it, okay? If I ended off with tcheles, then what I'm saying is that the lavan and tcheles themselves, the strings, have equal importance, right? Correct? You'd have to say that. I started off with lavan because I got to start off because that's min kanaf. But the fact that I go back and forth is showing me that they have equal value, right? But Oren's right. But Oren's right. You have to show that the tcheles is really a modifier of the lavan, right? That it's min kanaf, and then tcheles comes in, so to speak. God introduced tcheles into the lavan. So that has to be demonstrated throughout. So if I ended off with tcheles, what I would therefore say is that the tcheles is equal in value to the lavan, right? And that would take away from the lavan's importance. So Malam HaKodesh here is talking about the importance of the thing. I end off with lavan to demonstrate all along that the tcheles is really coming along as a modifier of the lavan itself. That's what you were saying, right? Tcheles' responsibility comes about through u'isamaso, meaning in the anaf, I must see the contrast, right? But insofar as the structure of the knot's concerned, right? So what I would say is the Tchelis does not have as important of a role. It's coming as a modifier. In fact, I'll even go further. Look at how the Rambam has it. The Rambam has the or is, what's the blue string coming to do? Well, you know, I will get to that in a second. I don't want to give anything away. Now we're going to do this my way, okay? Yeah. So let's start off with the question of, which I think is the easiest thing to start defining, which is the types of string picture, okay? Where we have the Rambam who holds one of the eight is Tcheles, which really means half of one of the four. Right? Hold on, we're going to get to that. That's exactly what we're going to take up, right? The Ravid says two of the eight are blue, which really means one whole one, right? And then Tosos who holds, no, two of the four, or which comes out when I doubled over, four of the eight. Everyone see this picture over here? Let's see if we can define that, okay? And now remember, you have three shitas here, right? You have the Rambam who holds it's half of one, which really means one of eight. You have the Ravid holds one whole, which is really two of eight. And then Tosos comes along and says you need two of four, which is really four of eight. So obviously when you have this kind of machlokas, you got to pair up one of the two, right? So who would you pair up with each other?
Rambam.
Okay, the Rambam's position is very unique by Tchelis. What's that string doing, right? Right, which means that in a sense, I know it's Olam Minyan, relax, but it's because I know that. I'm aware of the Gemara, okay? That being the case, the blue string is in a sense being superimposed onto the other ones, right? So if I had any more than one string present at any time that's blue, right, then what am I doing, what am I saying about the Tcheles?
It's not a thing that functions in a certain way.
Right. It's becoming a color. It's becoming a min. Okay, the Rambam does not want the Tchelas to be expressed as a min. He wants it to always be isolated as a function. No, it's not. A min requires a minimum of
two.
Because simple. Because what you're going to say is when you look at that one string, what you're going to say is it's like saying I have seven regular white strings and I got this odd other string. Right? A min is like a quality, right? It's not just I happen to have a different colored string here. It's the presence of something. So presence in sittis is a minimum of, and again, by seeing it, of two. Okay? So the Rambam's going to say, now let's go even further. The Rambam's going to, and this is what we were hinting at yesterday, or 2 days ago. The Rambam's going to go as far as to say is that, like, what is he doing to Tchelas and Psil? What's he doing with them? You're right. Can I ask you a question? Does the Rambam have an idea of contrast? Look at the picture. He does, right? Before we get to this, don't worry about this chulya yet. Right, that's true. Right. But don't worry about his chulyas. He has an idea of contrast, yeah. Okay. Why is the Rambam so clever? It's so brilliant. He's so consistently simple, right? That's what I love about him. Because he's saying like this. He's saying that, well, we know there's a contrast of blue to white that's required in sittis. Okay? And we also know, in the Rambam's view, right, that there's a string that comes along and whose function is to korech. And that string is to wrap around, right? And the production of these chulyas, the wrappings, contrast to the other strings, right? So why not just take both ideas and put them into one? Meaning, that string, no. There's, exactly. In other words, the wrapping, right, produces the ultimate expression of contrast because now I have in it both the chulya against the rest of the strings and the color contrast. It's so simple. It's so simple according to the Rambam. One string has in it multiple functions, right? By being different color, it's producing contrast, and structurally it's producing contrast. So you both have color contrast and structural contrast in that one string, okay? Cut off psil techeles. The Rambam reads it as one unit, right? Okay, that's a big step in the Rambam. Is that clear?
Okay.
And he gets. It's like it's the best way to do it because now you have. That's why I feel guilty.
He's the first one I've seen.
He is the best because what do you call it? No, that's why I feel guilty when you wear Rambam tzitzis and you don't wear playlists.
Yeah, it's so weird.
Because it's like you're missing like half of what it's there for. You know what I mean? So I'm just saying, for all you guys who are going nuts with your Rambam tzitzis, just be aware. It's like a funny thing because the Rambam seemed to insist that it was so important to to bind together the idea of color contrast with functional contrast.
Yeah, well, if you don't,
so now I would agree with Oren. I would say then that the Rivet and Tosos really are on the same side. Because Tosos is going to say, no, the contrast has to be in the structure itself, right? The contrast isn't through a different structure. You understand? In other words, the Rambam's saying that the structure of Chulia will now produce the contrast. Tosos and the Rivet are going to say, no, it's got to be in the actual structure itself. It can't be through something else, but rather through what the tzitzis is. And now the only question is, does it have to be... Who? No, except for one thing.
Except for 2 versus 4.
So what? Well, so what's the difference between the two? Well, I would just say 2 versus 4. Right, I'm on the following. So again, I just want to know, there's two ways you can understand min, right, between the Rivet and Tosfos. There's two ways you can understand what min is. They both agree that they want there to be, in the structure of tzitzit itself, blue and white, right? But how can you understand min, right? So the Rivet would say that as long as I can see the presence of tcheles in these strings, which the minimum shear presence is going to be 2, right, I'm good. What would Tosfos say? What do you mean? So that, right. So Sean's saying, how do you, in other words, Tosos is saying you want to maximize your contrast. Okay? The structure must have the maximum expression of contrast. So what are you going to need for that to happen? An equal, a one-to-one ratio of min. So is it the minimum shear min so I can see the presence of cheles? Or do I want to maximize my contrast? So according to Tosos, he's thinking maximize your contrast. Okay?
Well, that's
good.
That's
without looking at the pictures yet, which we'll plug in a second. Okay? Let's take a step back, looking using the pictures. Let's take a step back and understand there's the machlokus about 7/13, okay, which is really about how we understand these chulias. Okay, the Gemara told us what's the minimum shear of chulia?
3.
A chulia can't be a chulia without being 3. That we know. Okay, so when it says 7/13, I'm not defining anything. I'm just helping you set it up. When it says 7/13, does that mean the total number of chulias, right? And then each, well, is it the total number of chulias and then each one is 3, right? Or is it that each chulia can have 7/13 wraps and then the minimum shear is 3, right? But each chulia itself, there was, when the Gemara says the minimum shear of chulia is 3, what does that mean? Does that mean that start off with 3 wraps, but I can go till 7/13, right? So 3, as I start wrapping... No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. No. It says two statements. It says shir chulia is 3, and then it says when I do them lo pochos mi 7 and no more than 13. You see the Rishonim learn out. Some of them do and say that 3 is simply the smallest amount of chulia could be, but I can go up to 7 or 13. You see that? And there's a question like this. I'm just trying to get the facts down. Hold on. Cut me some slack. Okay. In other words, like this. Let's understand something. You see from the way they were shown to learn out. One way to learn is to say that the minimum shear of a chulia is 3. So once I have 3 wraparounds, I now have a chulia, right? Now the question in the Gemara is, how many of those should I have? 7, right? Okay. Of 3s, right. Okay. Or do I say, which is another way of learning, well, is that two other ways of learning this, is that, well, when we say 3, what we're saying is that if I make my wraparound, once I hit 3, if I stopped, everyone would agree, I have a chulia. Question is, do I keep going for this kiyum of 7 rakiyas, right? So exactly, right? So do I say it's a kiyum, okay? That's the other way to learn, okay? So,
the two different variables?
Say it again? I'm just showing you what the other way that we've shown them learn. There's one other way to learn it, okay? The other way to learn it is to say that the minimum shear of chulia is 3, right? But 7 and 13 is referring to the number of contrasts of white to blue, okay? Meaning that when I build my chulias, right? So the number 7, for example, would refer to the contrast, meaning I have 1 white, 2 blue, 3 white, 4 blue, 5 white, 6 blue, 7 white, bam, I'm now done. Okay? So the other way to learn, what do you mean? The other way to learn is that the chulyas, the shir of a chulya is 3, but then the idea of 7 and 13 is referring to the total number of contrasting chulyas I require. Okay? So again, there's 3 ways that we're showing them discuss this issue. Either they say 3 is the structure of a chulya, and now the 7-13 is how many of those chulyas do I need? The second way says 3 is a minimum shir of chulya, and now 7-13 refers to the number of contrasts I require in the structure. And the third way is saying that I'm just a shaliach, that 3 is the minimum number of reps, right? Once I hit 3, technically I have a chulya, but I should keep going and wrapping until I hit 7. Okay? So those are the 3 main positions, okay? The 3 main ways of looking at it is, one more time, right? Is it each chulya is 3? 7 refers to the total number of chulyas I require. Let's use 7. Let's use 7 to make it easier, okay?
It's also the reverse.
What do you mean?
3 sets with 7 swirlies each.
Yeah.
That's the other side.
What, 3 sets of 7s?
It's either you need 7...
Look at Rav Amram going. That's a good segue. Look at Rav Amram going. What does he do there? Notice what he's doing is he's saying there is a chulya's 3 strings, right? But no, but if you count, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. Meaning the 13, no, but the 13 is referring to contrast. Contrast. Blue. Blue and white. No. It's not 13 sets. Right. Exactly. What?
It just sounds like you're saying
there's 13 chulyas, but the 13 is referring to contrasting chulyas. For example, I'll tell you why. Because what I could have structured it, if I wanted to, I could have structured it of white, blue, blue, blue. White.
That doesn't do the job.
Right. Because what he's saying is that the idea of 13, right, or 7, whatever, right, that concept is related to tchela strings. Meaning, how do I know what's 13? Again, for 13 or whatever, 7, is pointing you towards the contrasting structure of the chulyas. The chulyas 3, right? It's not that I need 13 chulyas. It's that I need a contrasting, alternating set of 13 chulyas. You understand? It's not just enough to say I need 13 chulyas. Because where does the tchelas fit in? So according to Rav Amram going, if you look at it, he's saying contrasting is part of the very structure of the chulyas himself. No, not the structure of a chulya, but of the set of 7. In other words, according to him, when am I done? When do I say I'm now done with my chulyas, right? When I see, when I have 7 contrasting. I've completed it. As I said 2 days ago, I have no idea. But guys, so if you look at the picture here of types of chulyas, okay? All right? If you look at the picture, it says types of chulyas. So let's think about that for a second. Okay, let's look at that image. And especially when you see, for instance, Rav Natronai Gaon, the guy all the way on the right, okay? Look at the guy on the right, for instance, and look at, let's say, the guy on the left. So you see on the right, you see there's something different between where, it's an interesting idea where each string contrasts white to blue versus each chulya contrasting white or blue. Okay?
Was that within the chulya itself.
Right. So let's start out with the first thing, and this is going to answer what somebody, it's clear according to the Rambam. No. This is you'll hear what I'm about to, when I say this. This goes back to our conversation yesterday when someone else was here, right? So it's clear according to the Rambam. Okay, the Rambam's going to say, and others are going to say, there's an actual chefza of a chulya, right? And that is 3. And I would argue that according to the Rambam, if I add to that chefza, what am I doing to it? Well, I would say, but in other words, what I'm saying is, I'm. It's no right. I would argue. I don't think it's a chulya anymore according to the Rambam. If I add another's wraparound, that's not a chulya. A chulya means 3. Exactly. Right. So if that's true, right, so if I add or subtract to that structure, I would argue I'm compromising the chatza. But I can have as many of those chatzas as I want. The Gemara tells you 7. That's your guide, right? So the Rambam would say each chulya is its own chatza, right? And 7 or 13 is just the guide for how many of those chatzas I should have. Okay, but it's a chatza. It's an actual halacha chepsa. What? So obviously the side that holds, right? Guys, obviously the side that holds that I can build off the 3, meaning 3 is the minimum shear, but I can add more, there's no actual, so to speak, chepsa of a chulya, right? No. But Rav Amram Gaon comes along, and also Rav Natronai Gaon, and they go a little further, because I think what they want to say is that In other words, the Gemara wants us to show this idea of Rakia, right? The 7-13 idea, right? So they're going to say the Chulia was designed, in other words, the design of a Chulia is to show contrast. That's part of the identity of a Chulia itself. Meaning, if I had one Chulia alone, it's true that I had the shear required for Chulia, but I would say it's lacking. I would say he agrees with that as well. I'll tell you why in a second.
One Chulia doesn't contrast another Chulia.
Yeah. Right.
So if you only had one, you'd be fine.
You wouldn't have anything.
No, it would be contrasting itself.
Can someone explain? So that's the question. The question now is, between Rav Amram Gaon and Rav Natronai Gaon is going to be, when we say to have, we have to have contrast. Meaning they both agree that the idea of contrast is built into Chulia. Now the question is how's the contrast expressed? Right? Is it... Right, exactly. It can be the contrast can emerge in two ways. It could be within the structure of contrast, and that means the strings alternate, white, blue, right? Or is it through what? What's the other way you can have contrast? What's that? What do you mean?
That is an entity of contrast. That it's that when you see a Chulia, you see contrast within the Chulia.
Okay, so right? No. You're saying it's through the collection of the Chulias itself that contrast emerges.
Yes.
Right? Do you say the contrast must be present in the structure of a Chulia? I mean, the Chulia doesn't emerge until I have a contrasting thing. Or do I say the collection of Chulias is what produces contrast? That's Rav Natronai and Rav Amram Gaon. Okay? Nice and easy. Right? Yeah, in other words, the machlokas between Rav Natronai Gaon and Rav Amram Gaon, right? There's a Rambam holds that the chulios are chefsas, right? And he holds, and remember, he holds that contrast is built into the psil tcheles, right? Not into the chulia itself, right? Whereas Rav Amram Gaon and Natronai Gaon say no. They say that the very structure of a chulia, chulios must be contrasting things. Now there's two ways that can express that contrast. One is the collection of chulias, right? And the other one is in the very structure of the chulia itself. So when I go white, blue in the chulia, that's the other way I can produce contrast. Okay? That's Rav Natronai Gaon. What? Side machlokas, but not as important. The other, I mean, this is also, it's a variable, but not a really critical one. Obviously, the machlokas between the Rambam and Rav Amram Gaon and Rav Natronai Gaon and all the other Rishonim is what kind of kesher do I use? Before we get into the kesher that separates each one, what kind of kesher do I use? Do I need a halacha kesher, which is a double knot? But it's very interesting how the Rambam and the Gaonim hold that the only double knot is this knot. That's the only, so to speak, halachic knot. But these knots are there for what purpose? Right, exactly. It's interesting. In other words, rather than actually create a separate, in other words, it's interesting that by not using a halachic knot, what they're just saying is that the Rambam knot ends the chulia. All right, Tosfos Lamed Tes Amud Aleph. What? All right, look at Tosfos Lo Yivchos, okay? That's also true, right? Because he's like a Rishon. All right, look at Lo Yivchos, okay? Shh. All right, Kalev. Look where he says, look where he says, from the beginning, Lefi Shatcheles. Right, so the blue is like the color of the ocean, which is the color of the sky, and then as the Ramban adds on to that, leads you to God. I don't know. Go on. The Anan. Okay, we're not Tchelos today, so we're not Makan on it. Now, here comes the key point. V'ha Nami.
V'ha Nami, the Amrinan, sorry, Likshur, Otto, Kulia, Bekulia, Hayiv, Kadeshi, Yedei, Nikar, Hatzpelos.
Right, so you see Tosfos the clue saying what? The fact that you're tying right on every chulia is to make sure that tchelos is nicker, is recognizable. Okay, we'll get back to that. Umashin anu noagim. So the tzitzis is like all the mitzvahs in the Torah, right? The fisha tzitzis ola tafresh. So the word tzitzis sadiyud taf equals. No, which means 600, right? Keep going. Ches. Right, so and eight, what do you call it? Eight strings plus five knots Where those knots come from? I don't know. Five knots equals Taryag. I mean, what? Imagine, right, Sifra, but whatever. I'm saying it's like, it's not, the Gemara doesn't cite that. Keep going. Yeah, but that's the problem. The problem is when it says tzitzis, it's missing a yud. Fine. So the Gemara, so you conclude, Vesh Lomar. That's it. Mashlim Asam. Okay. Now let's get. So I'm not. Tosfos doesn't. But you see, even though Tosfos answers the Kashi and Rashi, you see he's not happy about it. He gives like a what he considers a more reasonable interpretation of why you need five. So what does he say? He says V'yesh Lomar. Oh, so V'chein Noag Rabbeinu Tam. No, okay, that already sounds weird. Okay, like what does that mean? What does it mean when he says there are five knots? Two are close to the.
Two are the Doraita ones because you need one to attach to the Begad.
Right, so two are. Right. Okay, okay, good. So two are close to, I guess what he means by the Begad, right? So they're the two closest to here. And then the other three, right, are Samach to Pasil, which sounds like they're obviously here, right? Why does he have to say it that way? Well, look at this for a second, right? So there's a knot here and a knot here. He's saying these two are one kind of set of knots, and then these three are what? The other kind of knots. Okay, keep going. You mean two to three? Maybe, but that—I mean, you're right. But isn't that like a coincidence? The Gemara doesn't say that. The Gemara only says two to three by the ratio of Gedil to Anaf, not by knots. Right, so what does he say, Kalev?
That again.
Keep going. Right, and every knot requires, it's a halachic knot. Kesher shokaima means a permanent knot, okay? Keep going. Umihu. Mefurash. You see that, by the way. You see that Tosos is bothered by that. There's not even a hint in the Gemara at all to any idea of these five knots. He's bothered. He doesn't accept Rashi's Medrash idea. Okay, so we do see, there's no question the Gemara says, I must tie between each Chulia. Now, again, not to be too biased, but the Rambam would say, what does that mean? It just means that at the end of the Chulia, what do? I put that little loop around, and then start my next Chulia. Keep going. You're so impatient. All right? Wait a second. But when the Gemara suggests that I have to be kosher on every Chulia of a Chulia, what's it talking about? One that's white and one that's blue. Okay? So automatically, Tosos is hinting at this idea that when does my Chulia end? Right, so I need a set of contrasts. So according to Tosos, step one is, I need a set of contrasts, which is one white and one blue, and then what do I do afterwards? Create a knot. Okay, keep going. Kesher Echad. Well, you got to see where he's going with this. But then, what about the fact that the Gemara says seven? So it says like this. It says, so I'm going to have to make five knots. Why? Because I make off, my first knot has to be white. Right? That's this knot here. Okay? Then what do? Then, archachach shtei chulios, because, right, a set of chulios must always be one blue and one white. That's my set. But then I have to divide it up by a knot.
There's such thing as a set of chulias. That was never a thing in the
Gemara. Because no, I'll tell you why. Because he's going to hold the idea of chulias as a contrast.
Oh, really?
Yes.
So then how is he getting...
Then I have... Ad shemesayim sheish chulias, right? Hare arba ksharim, right? V'achrach osa chulias shviyas shalavan kadei shehem esayim alavan. And then my final chulia must be white because my final knot must be white, right? Okay. So according to Tosfos, you deduce from the Gemara in his way. I'm not saying I agree with it. In his way, you deduce that you need five knots. It comes out that way because I start off, my first knot must be white. Then I have contrast. I have sets of contrast. Blue-white, knot. Blue-white, knot. Blue-white, knot. Blue-white, Sorry. White, then white, blue, white, blue, white, blue, white, blue, then white. Right? The end has to be a white chulia with a knot following. That gives you five knots. Okay? That's Tosfos. Okay? So how do you know Kinnerik is 20% right? Actually, 60% right. Because Tosfos says that at the end, V'yesh mefarshim, lo yifchos v'shemek v'chos v'in kol kesher v'kesher. So you see, Tosfos himself doesn't really buy this completely. Because why does he say yesh mefarshim, right?
Why should I?
Come on. Let's agree with one thing. The idea of five is very, very difficult because either it's midrashic, which is rejecting the Gemara openly, or it requires what I would call, and I'm not saying this in a negative way, a tremendous Gemara sleight of hand by Tosfos to arrive at this conclusion. Okay? If you guys remember, the Grizz had an idea. The Grizz said there's two aspects to tzitzis. There's the structure of the gadil, and then there's the other idea of the kiyum mitzvah tzitzis. Okay? Which is where, and that's right, and that's where tchelas lavan emerged. Remember, according to the Grizz, there's no idea of Tchelas Lavan in a Gedil. The Gedil is a structural concept. And there's another idea of Tchelas Lavan that comes about through the strings themselves, right? And that's the key of Mitzvah Tzitzis. So what I want to say is that when the Gemara first talks about the Shir of Chulia, it's looking at the structure of the Chulia itself, which is the extension of the Gedil, meaning the Gedil starts off with my knot and then keeps going with the Chulia. Okay, so when the Gemara says the minimum shear of chulia is three, it's talking about the chulia vis-a-vis the gadil itself, meaning the gadil doesn't stop at the knot, we keep going with that wraparound. Okay, so the three chulia, the wraparound of chulia, is a structural concept. It's coming off the gadil. Hold on. Okay? Right. But when it talks about knots on the chulia, what's that referring to? Okay? That's referring to the chulia as kiyum mitzvah tzitzis, right? Because that's talking about contrast of white and blue, and that's a kiyum mitzvah tzitzis idea. One second. So the answer, Kinnerik, it could be that Tosfos, I'm not saying how he reads the Gemara, but it could be Tosfos says the chulia itself has two concepts in it. There's the structure of chulia as an extension of the gadil, and then there's the kiyum mitzvah tzitzis idea of chulia, right? Which is where contrast must emerge. And that's why he has the alternating sets of blue and white. What the knot does, right, when the knot comes to end the chulia, right, what's it actually doing? What's it doing? What's it doing? What's it doing?
It's saying that the chulia is there to contrast.
I would say that what the knots do is that they unify the structure of gadil with the idea of psil and anaf. That's why they wanted these knots in the picture. Because what do the knots do? They have a separate role, okay? They're not just simply practically there to end the chulia. There's something more. What are they doing? They're unifying the structure of gadil, right, with the idea of psil anaf, okay? How does that work? Well, what would you say? How would that work? How does that work? In other words, there's one I go ahead and, okay, when I have my first knot, and that first knot now extends this from the begin, okay? Then I have my, let's say according to Tosfos, I have my two chulias, right? So now I have a set of contrast. Two chulias. I know. I have a set of contrast in place, okay? Now, it's interesting. What does the knot now do? Because the knot has in it both blue and white, right? So you could argue there's an aspect of contrast in the knot. But what else is it? What else is it?
Structural.
It's also structural. So it could be that he holds that in the knot itself, right? You're seeing both components of tzitzis. You're seeing the structural idea because it's reminiscent of the gadil, and you're seeing the idea of contrast because you have the blue white going. What do you call it, one after the other? Which guy was it here? It was like the chinuch has that,
yeah.
The Rav Natronai Gaon. Look at the knots in Rav Natronai Gaon. You see how like they're so. You see how in the knot itself, do you see the contrast? I think that's done on purpose because you're seeing in the structure the idea of anaf itself. You're seeing gadil and anaf come together in that knot. As if to say that what happens, we'll end off with this, that I start off, it's a lot, right? I start off with a knot that's attached to the beged, right?
It's so interesting because they both have only two tails.
We are still in structure world, okay? I think that's why they're not bothered by bringing the knots into it, okay?
This is showing contrast from one.